Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's good to see you all again. Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
It's Dave Colonen. Dave, it's good to see you. We have some good material here. We're going to shift gears on our listeners today and see if we can inspire them and encourage them with a different light than we've tried in the past. We always try to keep it fresh, keep some new material, get some new ideas. And today we're going to be talking about true spiritual state before God, seeing our true spiritual state. It's a little complicated, but after you think about it, when you absorb some very powerful words that the Lord has before us, it is quite inspirational. We're going to talk about the prayer and powerfulness of prayer. Let's start out by saying, to make your prayer more profitable, it would be well from the beginning to picture yourself as poor, as naked, as a miserable wretch, perishing of hunger, who knows but one man whom he can speak or ask for hope. Or think of yourself as a sick person covered with sores and ready to die unless some pitiful physician would take him by the hand to healing. Put yourself in that mental state. You see, your soul is more bare of heavenly treasure than a poor beggar who is of earthly possessions. You need them more urgently, and there is none but God whom can ask you or expect them. Everything depends on his being moved by your prayer. He is able for all of this, but remember that he wills only to do this when he is asked earnestly and with real readiness. You see, it would be well to humble yourself and confess that you have not heeded his teaching any better or any profited by it more until you examine wherein you have specially neglected it. If you neglected God's word, or you are neglecting it now, and how far has your life been in conformity with God's will or in opposition to it? Lay your shame before God. Reflect on the occasion which causes you to commit these faults and the best means of avoiding or remedying these shortcomings. Consider what the Lord justly requires of you, that you may keep from such falls and repent of the past. Think of how greatly you are bound to obey him, however hard it may seem, how profitable it is to do so, how disgraceful and dangerous it would be to leave it undone. Remember that we are weak in itself, and daily experiences prove and offers yourself to Jesus Christ. Abhor your cowardice and faithfulness, and ask him to fill your heart with all that you would see in it. Ask him to strengthen this will, so that you may go on and do better things. Trust in his goodness and his solemn promise never to forsake us in our time of need. Lean upon his word and rest in that hope that he will confirm that which has brought you this far. Boy, that's some powerful words. Complicated, but it is based on true spiritual state before God. What do you think, David?
Talking about prayer.
Yeah.
I'm asking the question to myself.
Mm-hmm.
What about the people who, and this puts all of us down to somebody real little to get in front of God in our spiritual state.
That's
we,
right.
We're not up on some mighty mountain saying, God, here am I, it's me, you know?
That's right.
How about the people who don't go to church anymore? How about the people who have pushed God out of their lives? I think if you quit the church, you quit God. Maybe you don't. I don't hear that. Maybe when you quit the church, you quit praying. Maybe you quit reading the Bible. If you quit reading the Bible and you quit praying and you don't go to church, what are you? Are you a Christian? Do you call yourself Christian? Do you walk around thinking that heaven's your future and that everything is fine? I wonder. I like to have somebody that's quit church tell me, hey, yeah, I quit praying too. I don't pray anymore. I don't read the Bible anymore. I don't talk to my friends about the Lord. We always talk about fishing and hunting and golf and whatever. You know, God is somebody that expects us to be a spiritual person that has how true is our spirituality? I mean, do we fake it to come to do our job as his child, his children? Does the world that's left the church, what, 3,000 people a day leave the church? Yeah. What are they doing? What are they doing with their life? They're finding Sundays to be a day for everything else but the church. And you chose to talk about prayer. You chose to talk about what kind of condition are we in to ask God? Man, that's heavy. This is a heavy subject. Yeah. It's heavier than you think. It weighs a ton on people who are convicted when you don't go to church for 6 months, and you all of a sudden you want to pray because your daughter has fallen and broken her legs, and you can't pray. Why pray? It would be embarrassment to say, God, look at this. But I don't like you. I don't go to your church. I don't read your word. I don't do this. Prayer is a timely experience for we who are trying to serve the Lord. You picked a good subject, yes. But boy, does it bring up some information that people don't want to hear. They don't want to talk about it. Look, those guys are crazy. They're talking about something that we don't do anymore. Does America pray?
Yeah.
We don't even honor our own memories as we have pushed aside the flag and the national anthem. What do we do? Yeah. Do we call ourselves Americans anymore? We are in trouble about a lot of things, and maybe we've caught on to a different kind of conversation that we're having. I think we need to get saved all over again. Maybe.
That's a good way to say it, as individuals and as a nation. I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. We've always were taught to love God and country, and now both seem like they're falling apart. And you're right. That's what this material is about that we are studying and talking about today. And it goes across all those boundaries. I couldn't agree with you more. Why is it that we're losing 3,500 people a day from the church? And why is it that we're tearing down statues and monuments and refusing to stand to hear our anthem? Why are we falling apart at the seams? Are these people any better off now that the statues are down? Are they living any better? You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Well, there's 4,000 churches that close every year. So in the last 5 years, we've closed 20,000 churches. And those people, they're out wondering, where is God?
Yep.
They don't have a clue. The world doesn't have a clue where God is and what is he all about. What's he really doing? Let's continue. You kind of put a mindset in each of us, even those who are listening, they're waiting for the next question.
It kind of leads into my next subject because they are definitely connected. Of course, that's whenever you're sitting down and thinking about these things, that's you kind of tie them together. But it relates to real conversion. And that's what I want to try to address right now because, like you said, the sensitivity of people stepping away from the Lord is really a problem. Were they converted in the first place? And that's what you have to ask yourself. We must yield to God when he urges us to let him reign with us. Did you hesitate or resist so much when the world wanted to seduce you through its passion and pleasures? Did you resist evil so stoutly as you resist what is good? When is a question of going astray or being corrupt, lost, or acting against the innermost conscience of the heart? We yield unreservedly, but when the question is really, do we believe what we are saying? who did not make ourselves? We made by an all-wise, all-powerful hand to acknowledge that we owe it all to him, from whom we receive all, and all who made us for himself. And we begin to hesitate or to liberate or to foster subtle doubts as to the simplest, plainest manner, and we fear to give too much to him to whom nothing can be too much, though we never give him anything yet. We are actually ashamed of creasing to the ungrateful or the letting of the world see that we want to serve him. In a word, we are timid, we are shrinking, and we are shy about what is good. All I would ask you is simply to follow the leader of your innermost heart. What lends you towards what is good? That is where God can be found. Whenever you examine the foundation of your religion, you will easily see there is nothing substantial to be said against it, and that those who are opposed are only evading the rules of holy living. Do not argue. Either listen with your own heart, or consult such friends as you know to be right-minded and sincere. Ask them what they are finding God's service to be. That's what David was just mentioning just a few moments ago, whether they are sorry that they were pledged themselves to it, or whether they think they were too bold in their original conversion. Like you, you were in the world, and ask. Ask whether they regret having forsaken it. Indeed, whatever crosses may attend the Christian life today, we bear it all. He needs never lose that blessed pace of heart through which one accepts every suffering. We accept our desiring to know what happiness means, and we can't deny that. When the world gives us much, you can tell. Are men of the world always satisfied with everything that comes their way? Do they all have out of love with their heart? You know, what is it you're afraid of? Of following too much goodness? Finding too loving about God? Of being drawn by the attractions which are stronger than self or the charms of the poor world? What are you afraid of? Of becoming too humble? Too detached? Too pure? Too true? Too reasonable? Too grateful? To your Father which is in heaven, I pray you be afraid of nothing so much as the false fear. This foolish worldly wisdom which hesitates between God and self, between vice and virtue, between gratitude and ingratitude, between life and death. Now that is real conversion. You're living God's way when you can say that I am living between the gratitude of God.
Well, that's what God asks us.
Yes.
Some people think that maybe God has forgotten them. God never forgets you. You are on his list. What does God ask of each of us? Does he ask you, how do you want to be happy? And why didn't you realize that loving him would make you happy? Have you not felt that there's no real happiness in life anymore? You've tried it all. You've been through everything that the world would call away from God. And you're asking yourself, hey, I'll do whatever I will. And maybe that's not what God is asking us to be today. Whatever you will, really, love God and let his love be revived in your heart to be your guide. Your ears are not yet closed. You may not have left the church, but your ears somewhere, you can still hear somebody that says, hey, how about, what are you doing? You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we are trying to find ourselves in the world as we draw closer to the end time. You know, the devil is going to warp the minds of those who are on the edge, those who are called godly people. The devil's going to change their minds and put something into their life. They can't even see God anymore. They can't hear him. They can't do what he wants them to do. And he's coming. And the devil's laughing. He's saying to everybody, I'm winning. I'm winning right now. Everybody's leaving, and it's what I have been wanting them to do all their life. And the church is falling apart. Don't you ever believe that the church is going to fall apart completely. It's going to be for those who love God and want to serve him and who want to live with him forever and ever and ever. The devil may win his area, but there's days of revival when God speaks to your family and something happens in your home or in your workplace or at school, and you just say, yeah, I need God. I need the church. They were a comfort to me. They were a blessing. They lifted me, and I miss that upbeat on the Lord's Day and throughout the week when I feel like I've been deserted by everybody in the world. So
I could tell you were a preacher, Dave. That is exactly right. You're speaking from the heart. And that's what this is all about. This material that we've been studying and reading about and trying to share various thoughts and contemplating God's ambition. It's what is right and what stirs in our heart. And what does it take for us to be happy? And how do we eliminate the fears of our shortcomings or being incorrect or being wrong or making a mistake? You are so correct.
I want you to speak to the fear of being wrong.
Yeah.
What if you left the church and you forgot the Bible and you don't care about God anymore? What kind of fear do you have? Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
Whoa.
No, you're right. That's the problem with a lot of Christians, that they want to just sit and stare at the wall for 24 hours a day because they're afraid to make a mistake or afraid of being wrong.
Okay.
And the Lord wants us to be happy. Our spiritual growth and progress is more hindered by your excess of fear of giving away to what is really just plain enjoyment of our lives. The innocent things that it ever could be to enjoyment in of itself. In other words, we've got to be happy. Of course, self-indulgence is always to be avoided, especially when we need self-restraint. But you seriously injure yourself by keeping up a perpetual effort to resist even the smallest involuntary pleasure in the details of a well-regulated life. And that's what happiness is. I would have you steadily resist such a tendency. I do not approve of your efforts to reject and enjoy inevitable attending upon simple foods and needed rest and those kind of things. Speak honestly about your concerns about your health to your doctor, and then leave him to decide and give heed to your own fancies. But obey quietly that you should be the aim of your courage and steadfastness. Without this, you would not acquire the peace by which God's children possess. In other words, you've got to plain be happy in this good old life that we're given. And if you don't try to live to the max, then you don't really deserve it. Bear all annoyances of your present conditions, which is the full of inconvenience and discomforts and the pertinental spirits. These are the penitence God's assigned to each one of us, and far more useful than those of you who may choose just to do things for yourself. There is no spot in the world where you would not find yourself beset with your natural taste for enjoyment. Even the strictest solitude will have its thorns. There's no place that's absolutely perfect. The best state to be in is that which God hands and holds to you. Do not look beyond it, and be content to accept his will from one moment to another in a spirit of mortification and renumination. But this acquiescence must be full of trust in God. That's the point we're trying to make. Trust in God, who loves you with all more, and he's not sparing you any comforts. You ought to be scrupulous about your scruples rather than your enjoyment of the innocent, ordinary things in life. In other words, you've got to be happy. Be content with what God has given you at this moment, this time in your life, this spirit. Make the best of every moment that you can. And don't be afraid to step forward. You're correct, Dave, and you're saying that fear really stops people from moving forward and enjoying this good old life. The good Lord wants us to be happy and enjoy ourselves completely to the max. And as long as we're not destroying any of his grace, breaking any of his do's and don'ts, and the common sense rules of this land we live in, we will be fine. And that's what the Lord wants of us. He wants us to live life to the max. What are your thoughts, Dave? Do you have any ambitions to share in the living the good life or words of inspiration to our listeners?
Well, generally speaking, I should fear that reading about spiritual matters tends to harm our weak imaginations. Self-love, that's a real problem. It flatters itself that we have attained attitudes which is always printed in books and the spiritual books of the library. We just we need to advise ourselves of the extraordinary experiences that God gives us. This is the way to discover how much self-conceit you really have. When God begins to deal with us, we think maybe it's spiritual gifts that we're supposed to have. That's important, but it's not a part of everybody's life to have spiritual gifts that give out every day to people. There are people who have spiritual gifts even in their prayer life that they pray for people, but they can't live out their life praying for people 24 hours a day. There's other things to do in life. But there is a deceitfulness that comes with self-love, self-righteousness. I do not think a person can be proved thoroughly if they don't aspire to some of the things that are expected of us. We're good at criticizing others. That's the main part of the world system. We don't do what we're supposed to, but we know how to criticize the next person. We know how to see down through his life better than anybody else. We can find fault with anybody about what they're doing with their life, and we're not afraid to tell them.
Yes.
And sometimes that's what's happening for the church. The church is in chaos about everybody dealing with each other's problems and condemning them and not actually taking time to pray for their friends who are so far off from the way they should live.
Wow. That's a powerful message you have there, Dave. We're going to, in fact, I'd like to be able to talk about that tomorrow. Let's come back and let's pick it up at that, because as you can well imagine, you know, we go over this material, we look at our notes and we study our thoughts, and we think we can just talk forever, and the next thing you know, our time has expired. The clock on the wall says it's time for us to say goodbye to our listeners. But I like this thought process. We are really accomplishing great things. We are helping our listeners to think and encourage them to come through and knowing and understanding the sensitivity of the Lord's way for us to live. It's peace, it's comfort, it's happiness, and it all follows that thought process where, well, the old days it said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. The newer translations say, treat other people the way you want to be treated. That's what we're trying to dissect for our listeners through these programs. Let's all learn to be happy and live together and love one another. For right now, for David, though, we must say goodbye. Gift Briner saying so long for now.
Hey, Dave Colonin, I've enjoyed being with you today and hope to see you the next time. Have a great day. Bye-bye.